You're listening to the Muslim Community Radio on 92.1 FM. We will now listen to an Islamic lecture covering some important aspects of the Islamic creed.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Lahu an-ni'matu wa lahu al-fadlu wa lahu al-thana'u al-hasan. Salawatullahi al-Badr Rahim. والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى، فصحح النية لله تعالى. All praise is to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may Allah raise the rank of our dearest Prophet and Master Muhammad and protect his nation from that which he fears for it. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, which means, every good deed requires the sincere intention in the heart to do that deed for the sake of Allah, in order for the slave to earn reward upon performing that deed. So if the good deed, for instance, is the praise, one should have also the intention in the heart to perform the praise for the sake of Allah, and thus one earns reward on the day of judgment. If the deed is to acquire the Islamic knowledge, similarly in this situation, one must have the right intention, the proper intention, the intention of attending the lesson for the sake of Allah only, if one aims at gaining rewards. And that's why, brothers and sisters in Islam, we remind you every time before we start the lesson to have the sincere intention in the heart first. The case also goes for the person who's giving the lesson. So both the person who is learning and the person who is teaching have to have the sincere intention in their hearts that their deeds, teaching or learning, are for the sake of Allah, and thus they would both, inshallah, earn the reward. Last time we talked about the types of apostasy, and we said that there are sayings that could terminate one's Islam, and there are actions that could also terminate one's Islam, and there are beliefs that could also terminate one's Islam. We were up to the second category of apostasy, and that was the actions. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be talking about some of the actions that terminate one's Islam. The reason we teach people this subject, as I've explained before, is simply because all the scholars of Islam have divided the types of apostasy into three, and they've authored these three types of apostasy in their books, and the aim was to teach the people how not to commit apostasy. Because once you know what are the actions, the sayings and the beliefs that terminate one's Islam, you are able then to stay away from committing those beliefs or those actions, sayings, and embracing those blasphemous beliefs. So, in order to enlighten the Muslims to this issue, we teach them some of the, we tell them about some of the actions that exit the slave from Islam, the Muslim slave from Islam. So the second category of apostasy is the actions committed by different parts of the body. That includes, for instance, prostrating to an idol. Now, what does it mean to prostrate? When one is prostrating to an idol, one is typically, for instance, putting his forehead on the ground. Or if one does not go the whole length of placing his forehead on the floor, but bows in worship to an idol, it's also blasphemy. Now, this action is a blasphemous one. However, the person did not speak, and he might not have believed in his heart that what he is bowing to or prostrating to is, for instance, a god. He did not believe that. Still, because the action is a blasphemous one, committing such an action is blasphemy itself. And this type of apostasy is the type that falls under the category of actions. Did he say a word? Not at all. Does he necessarily have to believe that person who prostrated to an idol? Does he necessarily have to believe that what he is prostrating to or what he is bowing to is God? No. The action is a blasphemous one, and thus, by simply doing the action, one commits blasphemy. One commits blasphemy. This is one of the types, or one of the examples that fall under the type of the actions, blasphemous actions, namely apostasy. Or prostrating to the sun or the moon. Now, why is it that prostrating to the sun or the moon is a blasphemy? Because people who have prostrated to the sun or the moon in the past and nowadays are people who worship the sun and the moon. So the simple act of doing that is an act that only happens from those blasphemous people. And thus, the one who does what blasphemous people do in their worship would have committed blasphemy. You see, this sort of action does not happen from anyone except from those ones who worship the sun or the moon. So doing that would be automatically in Islam judged as a blasphemous act, and one would exit Islam had he been a Muslim before. Or prostrating to any other creation with the purpose of worshipping it. So say it wasn't the sun or the moon. And the sun and the moon, as I've said, are usually used for worship by certain groups. Now you might find something else that's not commonly used amongst blasphemous groups as a figure to be worshipped, an idol. So prostrating to that one thing that's not commonly used to certain people who prostrate to them, to these idols, if one does that, then one must ask, why did you do that? And if the answer is, I'm doing that because I want to worship this thing, then the answer is obviously blasphemy. If he's doing it for a silly reason or whatever, it's still a sin that he must not do. It is something that he must not do. Another example of apostasy of actions is knowingly throwing, for instance, the book of the Quran in the rubbish bin. Somebody goes to his library, thinks, oh yeah, I've just gotten myself a new Mus'haf, book of Quran. He looks at the old one, it's fairly old, a lot of dust on it. He takes it and he thinks, I'm renewing my library. So he throws it in the bin, rubbish bin. That's blasphemy. Now, we said knowingly, which means there's a condition there in Islam, and that condition is for the person to know that this thing he is throwing in the rubbish bin or in a dirty place, normally used for rubbish and stuff, it doesn't have to be a bin as in a bin. If there's a plastic bag where he only chucks in rubbish and so on, and he does place the book of the Quran or any Islamic religious book in that one place, then this action will result in a blasphemy that falls under the apostasy of actions. So we cannot throw the Quran, the book of Quran, or a book of Islamic teachings, or a book that contains the name of Allah, or anything that's got the name of Allah on it, in the rubbish bin. Now, when we say the name of Allah, we don't just mean the letters Allah. You see, sometimes you go to a supermarket and you buy stuff, and what's written on there is supermarkets of Abdul Wahhab, so and so. Al Wahhab, Wallah. It's one of Allah's names. So if a person, after using or having finished with the item he just bought, he looks at the packaging, it could be a plastic packaging or a cardboard packaging containing one of the names of Allah. A lot of people call their sons Abdul Malik, Abdul Wahhab, Abdul Wadud, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman. Now Allah, Ar-Rahman, Al-Wadud, Al-Wahhab, Al-Malik are all names of Allah. So you can't discard of the plastic box or the cardboard box with the name of Allah on it knowingly. So in other words, the person knows that the name is present there. He knows how to read the language. He knows the name is there and it could be written in both languages, Arabic and English. Alright, he knew it still on purpose. He didn't forget. He took it and he threw it in the rubbish bin. That is a blasphemous action. It falls under the category of apostasy of actions. A Muslim doing that would become a blasphemer. A blasphemer doing that would have added blasphemy to his existing blasphemous situation. So one must not do that. Now, this is not a judgment that is only exclusive to some school of thoughts in Islam. All the scholars of Islam said the same thing. You cannot throw the name of Allah knowingly in the place of rubbish or in a place, a dirty place commonly used for rubbish and stuff like that. Why is blasphemy? Because this action really contains into it, the meaning that it has into it is mockery. There is mockery of the religion or for the religion for the person who does that. You imagine a person knowingly that the book in his hand is the book of the Quran, still holds it, goes to the rubbish bin and throws it there. There is a clear display of mockery for the Islamic religion. And the belittlement of the Islamic religion the mockery for the Islamic religion is blasphemy in Islam. A person blasphemes given the person did that. It's a blasphemy to do such a thing. So, when we read the name of Allah, and this happens in a lot of places where, especially I used to remember an example, and it used to happen all the time. When it's Eid time, a lot of people go and buy sweets. And a lot of those shops might have the name of the owner is Abdul Malik, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Wahhab. And at the time of Eid, you would see that the packaging that had contained the names at the bottom and inclusive in the name is the name of Allah would be thrown lying around in rubbish bins and so on. Now the person who makes sure that these things are never to be done would have saved himself a lot of trouble. So every time you buy something, there's something written on it in Arabic, okay, and if you choose not to know what's written on it, that's okay, that's your prerogative. You can do that in Islam. But once you know that the name on this packaging, cardboard box, plastic box, plastic bag, once you know on any of these items there is the name of Allah written there, you should not discard of it in by placing it or through placing it in the rubbish bin. This action is a blasphemous one. This action is a blasphemous one. Now, this is not only for the name of Allah. If you see few papers with Islamic knowledge on them, you can't say, yeah, we've taken this lesson, I don't need these papers anymore. There might be a verse of the Quran or one ayah of the Quran written in there. There is Islamic information about a certain subject and the person goes and throws it in the rubbish bin. Again, it's a blasphemy. What about the whole book? And the book is ripped, for instance, but you can still read through it. It's not fully ripped. It's very old, very used. Well, the same thing happens again. You cannot throw these things in the rubbish bin and discard of them in that fashion. That would be blasphemy. And it falls under the apostasy of actions, which is the second category that we're discussing today. What you do with all these papers and all these card boxes and plastic bags, if they've got the name of Allah on them, alright, you can burn them. Now, once they are burnt, you can burn them, yes, you can burn them. So what you do once they are burnt, they turn into ashes, very small pieces. If you put your hand in them, alright, they crunch up, exactly. And then you cannot see any of the words. Okay, so the whole word would be dissociated. Okay, you wouldn't see the word Allah, you can't see it anymore. The first part of the word is somewhere and the second part is another somewhere else. Yes. Now, all this provided the thrower knows it is a name of Allah and is conscious of this fact upon his action of throwing this paper or this thing that's got the name of Allah on it. So he knows about the presence of the name on it. And he knows that this is the name of Allah on it. So, say for instance the name of Allah was on it, alright, but he didn't read Arabic. He didn't read Arabic, he just knew. Somebody told him that the name of Allah is on it, and he believed him. Even though he couldn't read it, but he believed that person. He can't go and throw it in the bin saying, well, I can't read the language, because what happened was, is that he believed in his heart that the name was there. Once he knew, then he can't. Okay? Or say, for instance, he didn't know, but he knew how to read. And at the moment of wanting to throw this card box, he read the name of Allah on it. He has to stop himself then and there. If he goes through with it, knowingly, he would have committed blasphemy. Now, if he forgot, it's a different story altogether. Also, blasphemy by action is to intentionally assist someone to blaspheme. You see, to help someone blaspheme is a blasphemy. To assist someone blaspheme is blasphemy. To accept someone's blasphemy is blasphemy. To be happy with someone's blasphemy is blasphemy. To order someone to blaspheme is blasphemy. Like, for instance, what some people do, and that is, they take a non-Muslim, for instance, to the temple. A non-Muslim wants to go to his temple where he commits those blasphemous actions. If you assist him in your car, tell him, yep, I'll give you a lift there. And you know that he's going there for the purpose of doing their blasphemous acts. Worshipping a human being, or worshipping an idol, a temple, any given temple. If you assist a non-Muslim by giving them a lift, or helping them get to the place of worship that they consider as place of worship for them, where they commit their blasphemous acts, that would be considered a blasphemy in Islam. Because you would have agreed on that person committing blasphemy. And agreeing, accepting blasphemy is blasphemy itself in Islam. Even if the person has his own intent, that regardless if you give him a lift or not, he is still going because it's on this day, at this time of this day, he goes there and he's been doing this for 40 years. So you said to yourself, well, he's going to do it anyhow, I might as well give him a lift, it's on my way. You can't do that in Islam. Again, you can't do that. If you knew, it doesn't matter what the work is. If you give someone a lift or you assist someone get somewhere where they will commit blasphemy and you did that intentionally, knowingly, then it is considered as blasphemy in Islam. Now, the third category of apostasy is that of sayings. And the scholars said that this category, specifically this one, contains the most numerous cases. The most numerous cases. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, most of the sins of the sons of Adam are from their tongues. أكثر خطايا ابن آدم من لسانه. أكثر خطايا ابن آدم من لسانه. Now, most of the sins of the sons of Adam happen with the tongues. Among these, those sins of the tongues are great sins, but they are not yet considered or categorized as blasphemy. Okay? Like the ghiba and the namima. The ghiba of a pious Muslim is a big sin, is a great sin in Islam. And it happens with the tongue. But there are other sins that happen with the tongue. And those sins are the blasphemous sayings. They cause the Muslim to exit Islam. So we talked about the beliefs, we talked about the actions, and now we're talking about the sayings that terminate one's Islam. In this age, it has become common that people are so negligent and careless with their words. And this is evidently very true. We see people saying the wrong things, lying, causing ghiba and namima. And they never ever think of watching what they say. As though some people believe that you can talk, you won't be accountable for the words that you say. Some people, they talk as if there is no accountability to their words on the Day of Judgment. Even though the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that most of the sins of the sons of Adam are from their tongues. Now, people, especially the ignorant ones, are so negligent and careless that sometimes they say things and they might not have meant the meaning it contains, but they understand the meaning it contains, and it could be blasphemous, and they blaspheme. They blaspheme. You should really watch your tongue, because this little body part, the tongue, could cause you a lot of harm. You could be walking in the shopping center. You see a guy two times your size. You say a bad word to him, bad news. It's only the tongue. If you didn't say those words, you wouldn't have been in trouble. And you could go to someone who is extremely depressed and sad and so on, and again with the tongue say a nice few words and earn reward and be in a much better situation. You see, two different examples using the same tool, the tongue. So the Prophet in many of his sayings has advised the slaves of Allah to use their tongues in what's good for them on the Day of Judgment, in what benefits them on the Day of Judgment. And beware of just throwing words, saying whatever comes to mind at any given time, irrespective of what the situation is, because sometimes one might fall in blasphemy not even knowing by uttering few blasphemous words. Now, it doesn't have to be swearing at Allah necessarily. No. You could be somewhere, somebody's talking about a certain thing that's unlawful in Islam, and you thought of saying, no, it's lawful, though knowing it's unlawful. This act, which contains no swearing words directly to the religion, but if you say about something commonly known as unlawful, you said, yes, it's lawful, it's a blasphemy. You can't say about what's lawful, it's unlawful, or something that's unlawful to say it's lawful. You can't do that in Islam. That would be classified as blasphemy. Because you would be changing a judgment set by Allah. You can't change any of the judgments set by the religion, by Allah. This complies with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi. And he says, a person may utter a word he thinks is harmless. So the person who uttered the word thinks that the word he just uttered is harmless. Why? Because he's ignorant, for instance. But watch what the Prophet says, which results in his falling the depth of 70 years into hellfire. Why 70 years into hellfire? Because it takes 70 years to reach the bottom of hellfire. This is the distance it takes one in a falling manner to get into the bottom of hellfire. So what the Prophet is really saying, and this place is only, by the way, exclusive to the non-believers. In other words, if a sinner, Muslim, Allah did not forgive, was sent to hellfire, he would not be going 70 years. This place is exclusive to the non-believers, not the believers. So what the Prophet is trying to tell us in this hadith, and as the scholars of Islam understood it, that this word just uttered has turned this person from a Muslim into a non-believer, since that place is only exclusive to the non-believers. Do you get it? See, that place is only exclusive to the non-believers. If a person says something, as the Prophet says, and even though he thinks it's harmless, could lead him to the bottom of hellfire, which takes 70 years, really the implication there that this word is a blasphemous word. And what really makes it scary is that the person does not think is even harmless. Which really shows another point in this hadith, and that is, ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance is not to be used as an excuse. and is not a valid argument on the Day of Judgment to anybody who thinks, yeah, because I was ignorant, I'll get away with it. No, you won't get away with it. No one will get away with it on the Day of Judgment. You're a slave of Allah, you're ordered to learn these things, you didn't. So you didn't know the judgment, you thought it was harmless, still the word was blasphemous. You uttered that word, even though you think in your mind, in your frame of mind at the time when you said it, that you thought it's harmless. If it's a blasphemous word, it's a blasphemy. If the judgment in Islam that this is a blasphemous word, it's a blasphemy. This hadith that we've just mentioned is explicit in showing that uttering a word of blasphemy renders. So it turns that Muslim into a non-Muslim. Renders a person a non-Muslim. Even if he, the person who uttered the word, does not deem that word harmful, sinful, or blasphemous. So there is no consideration to his own regards of the word. Like someone said to you, yeah, I swore at Allah, but I was really angry, I didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. You've uttered a blasphemous word, it's a blasphemy. He cursed your religion. You're a Muslim. And he was a Muslim before he uttered these words. And he said to you, no, I was just angry. It doesn't matter. These are not valid excuses. These are blasphemous words. Even though the person thinks that they're harmless, it does not make a difference when it comes to judging him. This hadith also shows that it is not a condition. And watch these words carefully. These are the words of the scholars of Islam. Watch them carefully because they contain very valuable information. And this information is the truthful one. And a lot of people under the banner of Islam or using the name of Islam have written books containing something different. And these books have no regards according to the scholars of Islam. This hadith also shows that it is not a condition for committing blasphemy that the blasphemous saying be combined with either the belief in that saying or an action. You know how we said that apostasy is apostasy of actions, apostasy of beliefs, and apostasy of sayings? Now, you don't have to have 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 3 before the person could be judged as a blasphemer. Any of the 3 committed separately is blasphemous and is enough to terminate one's Islam. So you can't say, oh yeah, he said something blasphemous and he did something blasphemous, now he only needs one more, the belief, and then he will become a blasphemer. No. One of these 3, any one of these 3 committed, once committed, terminates one's Islam. Makes the person a non-Muslim. The Prophet did not say a person might utter a word and believe in it. What the scholars are explaining here is one person might swear at Allah and his swearing words might contain the meaning of these words could be that Allah has got a sister or a brother. Even though he does not believe any of these words said about Allah, resembling Allah to his creation, attributing one of these things to Allah would be blasphemous. Now you tell him, this is blasphemy. How could you say that Allah has a sister? How could you do that? This is blasphemous. And he says to you, yeah, but I don't believe it. This is the point. At that point, your answer to him is, Once you say a blasphemous word, even though you don't believe its meaning, it doesn't make a difference, it's still a blasphemy. Now you must utter the two testifications of faith to re-enter Islam. Had he been a Muslim before? Even if he does not believe the meaning of what he said. Nor did the Prophet say, if a person utters a word and acts accordingly, or comes up with a certain action that is in accordance with what he said. Like he said that Allah has a sister, for instance, with the tongue. And when you said to him, it's blasphemy, he said, yeah, but I didn't try it. It doesn't make a difference. Uttering the words of blasphemy in itself is blasphemous. It doesn't require the added blasphemous belief or blasphemous action to be then judged as a blasphemy itself, that word uttered. Nor did he say, a person might utter a word in seriousness. Again, what the scholars of Islam are telling us here, that the Prophet did not make an exemption to those ones who were only mocking the religion when they said what they said. Or the ones who are only serious when they said what they said. So in other words, regardless if there was belief, action, or there was no belief or action combined with the word, if the person was serious or in a mockery way, he said the words, it doesn't make a difference. The word itself is blasphemy, it becomes blasphemous. Not only if the person was serious does it become blasphemy, but this is not to say not only in case of mockery, this becomes blasphemy. Mockery and seriousness, stubbornness, conviction, belief, non-belief in the word, does not make a difference to the state of the blasphemous word itself once said. So once the blasphemous word is said, is mentioned, is uttered, the person becomes a blasphemer. A similar hadith by Al-Bukhari and Muslim is proof that it is not even conditional that one must know the judgment of the uttered blasphemous word for him to have committed blasphemy. So this consolidates and reassures the notion that for a person to commit blasphemy, he does not require the added belief in the word, or seriousness in the word, or mockery, or action combined with the word the time it was said. Uttering blasphemous words out of anger does not excuse a person from committing blasphemy either. And a lot of people say, were you angry when you said what you said? He says, yes. He says, okay. It's a different story. You have to be calm and say blasphemous words, then you become a blasphemer. This is completely wrong. It has no bearing in Islam. It is not part of the Islamic teachings. Angry or not angry, it doesn't make a difference. Again, once the blasphemous word is uttered, the frame of mind and the emotional state that the person is in is irrelevant. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, and listen to this carefully, if a man was angry with his child or his servant, for instance, and hit him severely, he had a servant or a child, he was extremely angry, and abused his child or hit him severely. Then another person asked him, how can you do this? Aren't you a Muslim? And to that, his deliberate answer, though angry, was no. Imam al-Nawawi says, he blasphemed. This was also said by Hanafi scholars as well as others. So we go back to the example to explain the situation. A person was extremely angry. He was hitting his son, or he was damaging his furniture or stuff, which is all really unacceptable actions. No one should really react that way. Abusing a child is haram in Islam. And abusing property given to you by Allah is also haram in Islam. You can't do either. But, and a person saw you and you were in that extreme state of rage. And the person said to you, how can you do this? Aren't you a Muslim? Meaning Muslims don't do these things. And he said to him, because he was angry, he said, no, I'm not a Muslim. In other words, he's saying, I accept being a non-Muslim. And we said, acceptance of blasphemy is blasphemy. The scholars of Islam said, even though this person was angry, it doesn't excuse him from becoming a blasphemer. Because he accepted being a blasphemer. Was he angry? Yes, he was. So what? It doesn't make a difference. Somebody was trying to start his car. He's got an appointment. He's too busy. He has to go. There's a big deal waiting for him there. Big business deal or whatever. And you were standing next to him. And he was trying to start the car and the car wouldn't start. And then he starts to lose it, and you can see it in his eyes and his actions. He's losing it little by little, and then he started, you know, throwing things, you know, at the steering wheel or trying to hit the window or the glass in rage, in anger, because he thinks, big deal, he's going to miss something very important. And he said to him, what's wrong with you? Aren't you a Muslim? You shouldn't be acting like this. What you're trying to do is reaffirm to this person, when you question him, aren't you a Muslim? When you pose this question, the intent was not that you suspect him being a Muslim. What you're really trying to say to him, you know, Muslims don't do these things. Be calm, be quiet. Okay, say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he said to you extremely, in a state of rage and angrily, he said to you, no, I'm not a Muslim. In other words, get off my back. But he knew what he was saying. Get off my case, get off my back. He said to you, no, I'm not a Muslim. He can't go back to you and say, oh yeah, but I was angry, so I didn't blaspheme. You tell him, no, it's a blasphemy, because even though you're angry, you accepted the state of blasphemy upon yourself. And acceptance of blasphemy upon yourself is blasphemy itself. You must utter the two testifications of faith to go back to Islam. Now, what does this conclude, this example of Al-Imam al-Nawawi? It really shows a very important side to this judgment, and that is, angry or not, happy or not, it doesn't excuse you from falling into blasphemy once the blasphemous word is uttered. There is no excuse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us against anger in many of his hadith. In many of the Prophet's hadith, the Prophet warned us from being angry. Because once the person is angry, it normally leads to misjudgments, mishaps, actions that you will regret later. It could be a word that you would utter and might not be blasphemous, but it could hurt one of your loved ones. It could break someone's heart. And breaking a Muslim's heart is a sin. It could be because you're extremely angry. People feel that they can lie. Simply because they're angry, they think they're allowed. You're not allowed. And most surely, a person is not excused when angry to blaspheme. You cannot blaspheme. His reply, in other words, the Prophet's reply to a man who came to him asking for advice was, do not get angry. Now, if anger was an excuse for not falling in blasphemy, would the Prophet have warned people against getting angry? No. The reason why the Prophet warned people from getting angry is because, angry or not, once the bad is done, you'll be accountable for it. You can't say, I was angry. Why? Because the Prophet has warned us, don't get angry. Meaning, angry or not, you cannot do the wrong things. And even though you might be angry, it's not going to be an excuse for you. So anybody saying, yes, if you're angry, you're excused, in case you say some blasphemous words, is really an ignorant person about the Islamic teachings, knows nothing about the Islamic teachings, and should not be listened to. Hence, anger is not an excuse. The lack of controlling it can lead a person to various sins, including blasphemy. Now, the scholars mentioned that this third category of apostasy, the apostasy of sayings, is like the sea that has no shoreline. What they really meant by that is, it's really a vast field of examples, really. You can find so many examples to this third category of apostasy, the apostasy of saints. They cited many examples in their books to deter people from saying similar words. So what was the intent when they wrote these books and authored these three types of apostasy? Was it an encouragement to people to commit blasphemy and say blasphemous words? No. They are really pinpointing the words that cause people to blaspheme and the hope that people will stay away from saying those blasphemous words. That was the intent. For example, to curse Allah is blasphemy. He who curses Allah is not a Muslim. And they gave many examples. In different countries, they have different versions of cursing Allah when they're angry or when they're upset or something. And they gave many examples, each one according to the place they lived in, knowing their culture and their people and what's the habit of the blasphemous people to say there when they're angry, even though they might call themselves Muslims. It is a blasphemy to curse one of the prophets. So swearing at one of the prophets of Allah, or one of the attributes of Allah, or one of the angels of Allah, is also a blasphemy. As stated by Qadi Iyad. To declare a Muslim kafir, blasphemer, without a valid reason, is also a blasphemy. Like you go somewhere to a shop and you don't like this person and you say, oh, he's a kafir, he's a blasphemer. Simply because you didn't like him. Even though knowing he's a Muslim, what you've really done there is you have named his religion blasphemy. And what's the religion of that man? It's Islam. Right? The person you're talking to is a Muslim. But you didn't like him, so you said, oh, you know, what a blasphemer you are. It pleased you to say that. You saying that is a blasphemy for you. He did not blaspheme, you blaspheme by calling him a blasphemer. Why? Because you're really saying that his religion is blasphemy. So you're calling Islam, his Islam, blasphemy. And again, we said that anything disrespecting the religion, belittling the religion, making mockery about the religion, is blasphemy. So you can't call any Muslim a kafir without a valid reason. And this was mentioned again by Al-Mutawalli and Al-Ghazali, two Muslim scholars. Al-Tahawi said that it is blasphemy to attribute to Allah any attribute of the creation, like age or time, body or place, organs or instruments, colors or shapes. Any of the above mentioned is blasphemy. And it falls under the category of apostasy of the saints. Saying Allah is tall, Allah has a beginning. Allah is big, small. Allah is millions of years old. Allah has hands or legs or a heart or a head. All these examples are examples of the apostasy of the sayings that one must stay clear of or clear from. Also, intending to blaspheme in the future contingent upon the happening of a certain incident, again, makes the person a blasphemer immediately. Like someone who says, if my son dies tonight because he was sick, I'm going to turn into a non-believer and I'm going to start worshipping the sun or the moon or Satan. Or I will not be a Muslim anymore if my son dies tonight. Now, his son might not die. But regardless of whether his son dies or lives, because say he was very sick, the intent or conditional intent to blaspheme is blasphemy. The intent or conditional intent to blaspheme is blasphemy. Let the person take heed of the advice and warnings of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Let him be extremely cautious not to let his tongue drive him to a destructive situation, namely apostasy, blasphemy. One should really be aware of the words that he or she utters. As we've explained, it's a very serious situation. Angry or not, happy or not, serious or not, believing in what you said or not does not make a difference. As mentioned by Imam Al-Ghazali, the tongue has such a small size, but the crime it commits may be enormous. Such a small thing, the tongue, and the results and the consequences resulting from the tongue could be of enormous consequences to the person who uttered the sinful words or the blasphemous words. Other scholars said, the tongue is like a fierce beast which will attack you if you do not tie it up. And you really, if you think of these words, they're full of wisdom. Your tongue is like a fierce beast. If you don't tie it up, it will attack you. And it's very true. How many times have you been in a situation where you said something very silly you shouldn't have said and you felt embarrassed? Or the result of what you said caused you in way too much trouble that wasn't worth it, just for simply saying a couple of words. You find yourself in a situation that you had to work for a week after that to rectify a certain situation that you have provoked for just simply saying a couple of words that took only a couple of seconds. A few words you say in a couple of seconds, and they might destroy the rewards earned upon being on Islam. Then somebody in 2 seconds says something blasphemous. In 2 seconds, he demolished and destructed and emulated years worth of worship to Allah. 2 seconds, a blasphemous word. So really, your tongue is like a fierce beast. If you don't tie it up, it will attack you. And it doesn't have to be a blasphemy for it to attack you sometimes. You could say the wrong thing in the wrong place and end up in jail. End up being beaten. Ending up losing your job. Few words. Something you've worked so hard for, and then a few words. So yes, it is true. You have to tie up your tongue. You have to be careful, watchful of what you say. Or the consequences could be enormous. And Allah knows best. We ask you, Allah, to keep us steadfast on the path of Islam and to let us meet our fate of dying on Islam. Ameen.